Okay, boys. Today's daf is daf ches. We're going to start from the two dots where it says Lior Haner, which is roughly 7 lines before the wide lines. About 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah told us that when you go and do the Bedikas Chametz, you have to take along a candle, Lior Haner. Menuhani Mili, how do you know? Omer of Chizda, Lamanu Metziah Me Metziah, U Metziah Me Chippus, V'Chippus Me Chippus, V'Chippus Me Neirois, V'Neirois Me Ner. What does all of that mean? We're going to have a series of psukim, and each pasuk is going to give us one clue as to the bottom line that you have to go and use a candle by Bedikas Chametz. So the Gemara says, what are those clues, those words? The word Metziah, the word Chippus, the word Neirois, and the word Ner. So we start with the word Metziah. Memetziah, Metziah, Ksev, it says in the pasuk. Ksev Hacha. It says, the Gabi, the din of Bal Yeroa, Bal Yemotze, that you're not allowed to have any Chometz in your Rishus on Yontif. It says in the pasuk, Shivas Yamem, Se'ar Lo Yemotze, Bebateichem. It uses the expression of Metziah. Ksev Hacha, and there's another pasuk. This pasuk is talking about the Achei Yosef. When they left Yosef, as you know, they hid the Gevia of Yosef, Yosef Becher, in Amtachas bin Yamin, in his knapsack or his backsack. So it says in the pasuk, "Veyichapis b'god l'heichel." They searched, first starting from the eldest, meaning from Reuven going down, of a cotton kila, and they finally ended with bin Yamin. "Veyimotzei hagavia b'amtachas bin Yamin." Oh, so you see in this pasuk we have the word mitziah, "Veyimotzei," and we have "Veyichapis." "Veyichapis" means to search. Okay, so now I know the word mitziah was one clue. And what do I do based on this? What I do now is, Umetziah mechippus didei. What I do is now, I'm going to export the word chippus to the first pasuk of lo yimotzi bevatechem. In the first pasuk, it doesn't say the word chippus. But since the first pasuk, legabi bayiro bayimotzi, it says, lo yimotzi bevatechem. And since the second pasuk says, vayimotzi hagavia bamtachas bin yamin. And that second pasuk says, vayichapes. A lashon of chippus, so therefore I export that word chippus to the din of shivas yamin se'or liyimotzi bevatechem, as if it would say chippus over there. And again, chippus means to search. And then I continue on v'chippus mineirois. I learn now chippus from an exposing tchsip. Ba'isehi achapes es yushalayim baneirois. This is talking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu that he says li'osad lovoi. The time will come when a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to search Yerushalayim with candles to find if Chas V'Shalom there are Aveirois among the Anshei Yerushalayim. So Hashem is going to be Mechapes, going to search B'Neirois. Oh, so now I have the word Chippus once again. So now that I've imported the word Chippus to the Pasuk of Se'or Lo Yimotzi B'Vateichem, so now I import the word Neirois. Oh, if you want to make sure not to be Oyvei LaYiroa, Lo Yimotzi, Bal Yiroa, Bal Yimotzi, the way is to do a Chippus with Neirois. And now I learn that Neirois mean Ner. There's another pasuk. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam Chayfes Kol Chadrei Vatzen. Oh, here it says again the word Chippus. It says the word Ner. So I'm now going to go and transfer that word Ner once again and export it to the original pasuk of Se'or Leimotziv Vateichem. And combining all of these two, all of these psukim together, now I know that to rid yourself of chametz, to make sure that you don't find the chametz, mitziah, not to find the chametz on yontif, you do a chippus with neiros, or with the ner, the final pasuk. What we just learned now was Rav Chisda, which is an amoira. Who is an amoira? However, we're going to quote a braisa, which is basically word for word the same. Tanu Rabbi Shmuel, Leila Yudal Boidkas Chamsi or a ner. The night of Yudalit, like we are boidik on Bedikas Chametz night. How are you boidik lor and ner with a candle? Avo bishen raya ledover. You don't have a clear cut raya, but you have a zeich ledover. The reason why the Gemara says ein raya ledover but zeich ledover is because all of these psukim that we learned from the ba'esahi achapes is Yerushalayim ner Hashem nishmas adam. These are psukim in nach, and to learn halachas of the Torah, typically you only bring rayas from psukim in the Torah itself. This ner, neirois, this is a pasuk in Tanakh. So how could you learn one from the other? So Rashi says, you're right. It's really just an asmachta. It's mid Rabbanan. But Rabbanan found a nice, convenient series of psukim to be able to go and, in a sense, hang their hats on, to be able to say, you see, there's a makor to do the chippus, to do the bedikas chametz with a Yeah. So therefore, it's not a raya the dover, it's not psukim in the Torah, but zeichel the dover a raya from Tanakh. Shenemar, and now we repeat the same thing again. Shivas yams early motav v'otechem v'yoyim v'chapis begodl heichel uvakot n'kila v'yimotze hagaviya bamtachas bin yamin v'yoyim v'esi yachaps yishalayim bin neroi v'yoyim ner Hashem nishmas adam choyfis kol chadribot. Great, imar my v'yoyim, why do I have to have that final pasuk of the ner Hashem nishmas adam? What was wrong just leaving it at the pasuk v'esi yachaps yishalayim bin neroi? That already tells us that chippus has to be with a ner. What do I need yet another pasuk of ner Hashem nishmas adam? Says the Gemara, v'chitay mahay hay be'esahi kuluhu dekamarachmano. Maybe that pasuk of be'esahi achapes yishlaim, as we explained before, that is referring to the chippus that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to do li'osad lovay, to go and find averes chas v'sholem among the anshei Yerushalayim. So maybe that's a kula hu dekom rachmana. What means a kula? Lo bedikna lo b'Yerushalayim ben ahoyre da avuka da nafish na ahoyre tuva. Really and truly, a torch would be much better, because a torch sheds so much light. Why is the Kodesh Baruch Hu therefore only taking these small little Hanukkah candles, these little nothings? Kodesh Baruch is having rachmanis of the Yiddish Akinda and says, I'm not going to go and check with these huge, huge lights. I'm just going to take these small little akin like small little flashlights, small little Hanukkah candles. Why? Because with that, I'll only pick up the big ticket items, the big averois. The small little averois I won't even notice, because it's such a small little light. And if that's the case, I can't learn from that to the din of bedikas chometz, because bedikas chometz, I got to be machmir to make sure not to leave over even apsakis ayisel. I got to be very, very careful. So I would think you cannot learn from that pasuk. That's why we have another pasuk ner Hashem nishmas adam chayvus kol chadri baten, having nothing to do with looking for averois with a ner. Toshima, that's why we have to have that final pasuk ner Hashem nishmas adam. Now, what you could ask l'chayre is fakert, meaning, what do I need the ba'esei achapes yishalayim? Let's just go to the final pasuk, because that final pasuk ner Hashem nishmas adam chayvus kol chadri baten. Oh, it already talks about chippus over there. So I could leave out the ba'esei achapes yishalayim pasuk and just go straight from sa'or li'matziv v'teichem, it says metziah. Vayichapis v'godol heichel v'kotin kila v'yemotzi ha'agavia, it says metziah and chippus. And then the next pasuk, ner Hashem nishmas adam choyfeis, so I learn chippus with ner. I could leave out the ba'esei achapes yishalayim. It's not my kasha, that's the last toisvis, ayin sham for homework. Tana Rabban. And we start now a braisa, and the braisa first tells us that we're very, very makpid when you're doing the bedika in boikin loyla orachama. Don't do it during daylight and have the benefit of the sun. Loyla or halavana, don't do it at night and open all of the windows and get the benefit of the moonlight. Loyla or havuka, don't use a torch. Eloli or aner, what you're supposed to do is use a candle to go and find the chametz. Why? The nisha araner yafal bedika, because the araner is the best form of bedika. And the Gemara is going to say, why is it better than sunlight? Why is it better than torchlight? The Gemara is going to ask that in another few lines. But before we get there, we're going to repeat now for the third time. Even though I don't have rayas from psukim in the Torah, because the final limud from Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, it's a pasuk in Tanakh, it's a pasuk in Mishlei, it's not a pasuk in the Chumash, but I have a Zeichel Adobe Shenema, and we go through again. Shivas Yom Sarli Motivoteichem, that says Metziah. V'yayma v'yichapis, v'godl heichel, uv'akotn kilo, v'yimotze ha'gaviyah, it says Metziah and Chippus together. V'yayma v'esi ha'chapis yishlaim b'neiros, Chippus and Neiros. V'yayma Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, choyfis kol chadri baten. Oh, so I have rayas from these psukim. Bottom line, bedikas chametz with a candle. Freiti mara, hi oracham hechidomi. We started off the braisa saying, don't use sunlight. What are you referring to? Give me now the details. Inayim bechatzer. Do you mean that the person's outside chatzer? Chatzer is typically the front yard in front of your home, and you're concerned that there might be chametz there, and you're saying you have to use a candle. You cannot use sunlight. you don't even have to do a chippus at all b'chatzer. Ha'omer Rav, b'chatzer ain't a tzricha b'dika, m'nei sha'orvim mitzuyin sham. You don't even have to do any b'dika, because if there are any pieces of chametz here and there, the ravens are going to come, because the ravens love the food out in the chatzer. In fact, they're raving about it all day, and they say it's great, and they eat it, and they love it. And in your community, if you don't have ravens, you have cats and dogs, and you have squirrels, and you have rats, and you have mice. All wonderful things, but the mice, they eliminate the chametz very, very well. And therefore, you don't even have to check. Elamai must be talking about achsadra. Achsadra is what we've had already a number of times back in Masechtas Erevin. That's called either a portico or a gazebo. What it really means basically is that you have four poles, you have a ceiling, you have a roof, and then you have a little mechitzaloch coming on down on the sides, but they don't come all the way down to the floor. It's much more airy than it is real mechitzas. It's like that's only hilchas erevin, not
about the animals.
Exactly. Okay. Anyway, it's gedoyim boikim
ba. It works.
Anyway, getting back to us, el machsadra. See, it's telling by achsadra, that's where the Bryce is telling, don't be boidikli oir hacham. Rava said that achsadra, you could be boidik boiro. Now notice we started the mesechta oir la'abasar. Here it says oiro, that oira comes to tell you we're talking about a different type of oir. What means a different type of oir? So if you look at the second line of Rashi, la'oira nivdekis, li'or shela nivdekis, meaning the natural sunlight is sufficient for purposes of this gazebo. Main tzarech lahavi la. You could even be boidik the achsadr during the day. After all, the achsadr is out there in the sunlight. That's the best way to go and be boidik the achsadr during the day. The Mefarshim say, do it on day Yud Gimel, not on day Yud Dalet, just in case you're forgetful and you don't remember. So if you get on Yud Gimel, you can always do it at night when you're doing the B'dikas Chametz. Somebody's going to say, oh, what about the Achsadra? Don't you remember we made a party there a few days ago? We made a big Sim HaShas, and we made a party. There's probably some Chametz here, there, and everywhere. Oh, you're right. I should have done it this morning. I forgot. We're going to go and do it tonight. So the point is, do it on Yud Gimel, and if you forget, you do it on Yud Gimel at night. But when you do it on Yud Gimel, you don't even need the Oira Ner. You can use the Oira. You can use the Oira Nevekes. So, Baita, what do we mean that you don't use the sunlight? Oh, it's talking about that you have a skylight in your roof. And guess what? The sun, the rays of the sun shine directly into your home. And lav dafka, we're talking about a ruba shebechayim. The Mefarshim say the same thing is if you have a nice large chaloyin, a nice large window where the sun's rays come in, and it's a machayim, the whole room is lit up as a result of those sun rays, of those lights. So ibazoi freiti yomarom leitrich la ruba debechayim udehecha. Now, where are you referring to that you need the Oyer Haner, that you have to take a candle, and you cannot rely on the sunlight. Udehech. Ila Mahadi Aruba, are you talking about directly corresponding to and below that skylight? In other words, it's 12 o'clock midday, and the sun is beaming in, and it's so bright that people go and need, and they say we need shade here in the house. It's just so sunny. Ila Hadi Aruba Hain Achsadra, then has the same din as Achsadra, which Rav has said before in Achsadra, Li Oyra Nivdekes. You don't have to have any additional candles, you can rely li'oira, meaning on the light of the sun. Elo litzdadin. Oh, now I know what we're talking about. We're talking about, yes, that there's sunlight coming in through the skylight. And it's brilliant light. But it's only brilliant light directly underneath the skylight. If you go to the right or you go to the left, although you get the benefit of that sunlight for sure, but it's not the same la'oira nivdekes. There the Chacham say, make sure you take your candles and don't just rely on the sunlight. Okay, so with this we have concluded the discussion about sunlight. Yes, you can use sunlight for your achsadra. You can use your sunlight directly underneath the aruba, fine. But anything beyond that, if you want to go litzdadin, you have to have a candle. Frank Timur of Avuka, what's wrong with an Avuka? Avuka is a torch. L'chayr, a torch is much better. Amar Rav, amay dechsiv. V'noiga ke'or tia. Kanayim miyadoi loy. V'sham chev yoin uzoi. Rashi explains that this is talking about La'asad Lavoi, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to bring down tremendous light on this world to shine up the faces of all of the tzaddikim. And Rashi says the word Karnayim in this pasuk reminds us of the pasuk in the Chumash about Moshe Rabbeinu, ki koran oir panav. Moshe Rabbeinu's face was lit up, it was radiant, it shone. And therefore the taitch of the pasuk Rashi explains is Vanoiga, that light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to share with the tzaddikim la'asad lavoi, ki'ortia, it's going to be as shining and as brilliant as the light of Shivas Yemei Bereishis at the very outset and inception of the world. The karnayim that Koran or Ponav, the tzaddikim, are going to benefit from, miyodoloi, that comes directly from the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But don't think even for a moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shared the light to the same degree as the light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. No, no, no. B'shem Chevyon Uzay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light is still far greater than the light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sharing with the tzaddikim. And therefore, concludes the Gemara, says Rava, L'mot tzaddikim doimim b'fnei shechina, what will the radiating light of the faces of the tzaddikim, how will that be compared to the light of the Shechina Kaviyachal of the Rabbeinu Shleim, kiner b'fnei avvuka, like a small candle compared to a huge, huge torch. And v'yomer Rava, avvuka l'avdala mitzvah mufchar. On Matzah Shabbos, when making Havdalah, you should always use an avuka. And everybody knows that's the reason why we have our Havdalah candles that have multiple wicks, so that it becomes like a torch. Okay, so what do I see from this? The Navuka is much better than a small candle. So why does the Braisa say, Ein boik in the or avuka, el the or haner? Or haner is much, much less than Navuka. And the Gemara gives four tirutzim. Teretz number one, Amrach Ma Yitzchak, Ze Yochel Achnisot Chorin Stokim, Ze Yochel Achnisot Chorin Stokim. Because one of the purposes of the Bedikas Chometz is not just to go and look out in the open what is easily visible, but to look in all the cracks and the crevices in the wall, under the carpet, under the bed, here and there and everywhere. And you cannot go and take a torch with you to go and inspect the cracks and the crevices. The torches are meant for a macro picture, a macro type of search, not a micro search in the little holes and crevices. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, Rav Zina Omar, Zeh Oyer Lefonav, Zeh Oyer Oyer Li'achrav. A candle sheds light in front of it. In other words, you put up a candle next to that crack or crevice, and you look inside and you can see things as a result of the candle, just like a flashlight. However, when you have a big torch, you only see the light in back of it, means towards you, not on the other side. And not that the light is not intense. Everybody knows the intensity of a torch is much more than just a little candle. But it's because of that intensity, it causes temporary, if you will, blindness. The person cannot see beyond the torch because his eyes are so full of the radiating light of the torch. When he's trying to see beyond the torch, it's hard for him. It's just as if you've shown someone a flashlight directly in his eyes, it's very hard to see. But you can see on your side of the light, but you can't see on the other side.
It's blinding.
It's blinding. And that's the reason why we don't use the torch. Reason number three, Rapapa Mahai Boys Mahai Loi Boys. The word boys means it's frightening. Meaning, if you're going to go and check in your house and you're carrying one of these big torches, then you're afraid that chulil v'chas, that torch might cause the house to get on fire. It's going to go and touch the drapes or the blinds or whatever, the walls, wallpaper, the tables. Chas v'shalom can make a big fire. Says Rashi, your concern is not going to be to go and find the chametz. Your concern is to come out alive from this whole searching process. And therefore, you're not going to be machaven on a bedika yofa. That's why you use rather a candle. Candles typically don't make big bonfires. But torches, chas v'shalom, could be very dangerous. Ravina Omer, the final teretz, hay moshech nahoira v'hay miktif iktufi. When you're talking about a candle, normally the flame that comes up is nice and beautiful and stays in one place. Mashenkin, if you're talking about the torch typically is a flickering, flackering fire, where the fire keeps on kind of jumping up and down. You see the flames and go up and down, which is very pretty and very nice, but it's not that practical to go and search for chametz. For chametz, you need something which is nicely settled, moshech nahoira, and that's what the candle has, a mala over the avuka. Good. So we've concluded that shtickle, and now we go back to our Mishnah. In the Mishnah we said, that you only have to go and search for chametz in a mokim shemachnisin by chametz. Those places that throughout the year you use chametz. Those places that you never put any chametz, you don't have to search for the chametz. My wife, for instance, is very makbid. She tells all the children and she tells all the guests, no eating in the bedrooms, only eating in the dining room and in the kitchen. And if they would listen, we would not have to be boiting the bedrooms. Unfortunately, notwithstanding all of the warnings, nevertheless, you do find chametz there from time to time, and especially before Pesach. But that's at least the principle over here, that if it's a mokim she'ein machnisa by chametz, you don't have to check. There's no chametz, there's no chametz. Good. Anyway, the Mishnah uses the term not mokim she'ein machnisin. It says kol mokim she'ein machnisin. The question is kol mokim asuyim mai. What does that kol come to be mar? But what does it come to include? Says Yomar asuyim had a terabana. It comes to include what we learned in the Braisa. And the Braisa is going to give us a number of examples of those types of places that typically you would not find chametz ever. And therefore, you don't have to be bodek before Pesach. The Torah Rabbanan Chayde Beis Hayoyim V'Hatach Toinim. What happens if you have, as one of the walls of your apartment, of your house, a very, very tall wall that has in it cubby holes? Holds here, crevices at the top and the bottom, the middle. And this was a favorite place where people would go and hide things throughout the year, in these little cubby holes and these little holes in the wall. Now, if it happens to be more or less body height, then you can expect that a person would go and put things in those cubby holes. But what happens if it's very high? Who elyoinim? The person happens to be a 6-footer, but the hole in the wall is at the 7-foot level. Or tachtoinim, all the way in the ground, on the bottom. Those typically are holes in the wall that people are not even going to consider using for hiding things and putting things away. Rashi says, because ain noichin lishtamish. It's very, very difficult. Every time I want to go to that cubby, I'll have to go and take a ladder and make sure I don't fall down. Chas v'shalom, it's not worth it. Tachtoinim, I have to bend down all the way to the ground. I'd rather use the 1,000 cubby holes and little cracks and crevices and holes in the wall, which are basically hand or arm level. A little bit higher, a little bit lower, but not all the way in the top and all the way in the bottom. So that you don't have to be bodek. V'kag yitzia. Yitzia is like an annex, an additional building attached to your regular building. And Rashi says, the gagin were made of the regular houses, the gagin were flat. But the gaga yitzia was typically slanty. So you don't have to worry about chometz over there, because whatever chometz was left on top of that roof, guess what? Eventually it's going to slide down because it's at a slant. There'll be a little bit of a draft, a little wind, and poof. So you don't have to check that. V'gaga migdol. Now, the migdol that we're talking about over here is not a tower like Migdal David or something. This migdol is like the Shida Tevo migdol, which is referring to like a vitrine or a wardrobe or one of these external closets, not embedded closet in the wall, but a closet that comes out that you put your clothing and other things, other items. So typically, either these are very, very, very tall, and since they're so tall, it's like the choyrei hoel yoinim, that people don't put things on top of the closet because it's 7-8 feet tall. They put it into the closet. Or it's because that is also made slanty, like we said, the gaga yitzia. So for either reason, people did not use the gaga migdol, and see if we don't have to worry. Refes bakar. Refes bakar is like a shtal, a corral, or a barn where you have the animals. If they have any type of chametz, you don't have to worry because the animals are going to eat it like we had before the orvim. The lulin. Lulin means like a lul shultane goylem, meaning a chicken coop. If you leave any chametz, they're going to peck away at it, the hens and the roosters. Nothing to worry about. Matbein. Matbein is a shed where you hide you put away your tevin, your straw. Again, typically you would not work with that straw when you're holding chametz, so you don't have to. Same thing, oitzus yayin ve'oitzus shemen. If you have long-term storage of wine or of oil, why would I bring chametz in there? And therefore, ein tzrich medika, you don't need medika. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, mita hachilekis b'toich habayis umafsekis tzrich medika. Oh, don't forget about the famous mita. This mita has two qualities to it. Number one, it's cholekis. What means cholekis? Rashi says that the houses or apartments were rather small to act as a line of demarcation where the kitchen ends and where the bedroom begins. Instead of having walls and doors, they had a mita, they had a bed over there, and they knew that on one side of the mita is the kitchen, and the other side is the living room or the bedroom or whatever. Rashi says, really, this is unimportant, irrelevant to our discussion, but it's just Orcha de Milzenoket, that that's the way houses and apartments were built or used in the good old days, that separating one room from the other, often there was no curtain or wall, but you had a mita hachilekes. And perhaps it was in the form of some sort of Murphy bed, where you're able to make it vertical during the day, so maybe it acted as some sort of makeshift wall, but Rashi doesn't go into the details. But it's not relevant for our purposes, according to Rashi. Toises Grada disagrees, and that's homework for top Toises. Mafsekis, explains Rashi, means that there is a hefsek, there is space underneath the bed. Have you ever heard of something like that? Yes, these things exist. That you have bed legs or bed feet, and underneath the bed, from where the mattresses begin, the bed frame, until the floor, you have room. A lot of people keep their slippers there and other things. So since there is storage room, people might have put in some chametz by accident, or chametz on purpose. So now it comes, when it comes now Yom Tov time, then you have to go and make a bedikah because of the space between the bottom of the bed until the floor. Good. So the price on the surface is very simple, and now the Gemara is going to ask a double kasha. Or a minute. What happens if you have a next door neighbor who's on the other side of this wall? This wall is a very, very thick wall. Just to give you an idea of the thickness of the wall, you have a long cubby hole that extends from my house to my neighbor's house on the other side. If I were to take a telescope, I'd be able to go and see into his other house where he is learning the daf constantly, and I would see Baruch Hashem his asmada, how he's learning, gevaldik. But just to go give you an idea of how long or how wide it is or how thick it is, says the Gemara, says the Braisa, each one of the two should go and put his hand and his arm into the hole as far as it will reach, meaning all the way to your armpit, to your shoulder, and whatever you can reach. If that is there, presumably you are the one that put it there, because we're assuming that the house is built on level land, not on this land. So whatever you put there, that's yours. If you find chametz, remove it, eradicate it, get rid of it. Same thing on the guy on the other side. He puts his arm in as far as he can reach, and whatever chametz is there is his. What happens if there's still space in between? Now, the average person from the middle finger until his shoulder has got to be twice, 1.5 feet to 2 feet, so if that's, let's say, 1.5 feet on my side, 1.5 feet on his side, that's 3 feet wide, and in between there's still mokaim she'ein yoda megas. They can't even get to that spot. So you can see it must be at least a 4 or 5 feet thick wall. Anyway, Vashar, whatever's left over, malat liboy yishim mavatl in his heart, in other words, dubitl, because he can't reach it, so just leave it there. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mita Chalekes B'Toich HaBayis. So that's that Mita we spoke about before. Ve'itzim Avada B'Sedum B'Tachteh. And underneath the bed, we're using a taka for storage. And he leaves over there all types of pieces of wood and stones and the rest. Umaf Sekes, and there's room from the bed down to the ground. Ein Etzrich Adik, we don't need to do a Bedika. So now we have a double kasha. The obvious kasha is the kasha mita mita. The first brice has said that underneath the bed, since it's mafsekes, be bodek. And here it says, you don't have to be bodek. Then make up your mind. That's one kasha. Then you have kasha choyna choyrin. The first brice has said that the choyre bais, while you're all the way on top and all the way in the bottom, don't have to be bodek. And Rishim Gamliel said that, not Rishim Gamliel, for a minute, this second brice said, Chor shebeit onum lachavera, each one has to put his hand in as far as it will reach. So you see, you do have to be bodek. So Chorin HaKorin is also kasha. Now, the Chorin HaKorin kasha is nishkaza shvera kasha. I'm sure all of you are thinking already on your own. Chorin HaKorin lekasha, habi loy betasoi, habi mitzi. The first brice is very, very clear. The Chor Bais, well, yoinim, vatachtoinim, it's 7 foot high, or it's 1 inch from the ground. It's very difficult to use those chorim. That's why you don't have to bother being bodek for chametz. But the mitzi, that's the ones we're talking about, the ones in the middle, that are waist high, or arm high, in other words, the normal place that you would use the wall for the cubby holds to go and put things in and take things out and for whatever. So that's what the second brice is saying. Okay, so each one can go and be boidik ad mokum shiyodim agas, as far as his hands will reach. And so it's easy teretz. The first brice says, el yoinim etachtoinim, and here we're talking about the regular, the rest of the cubby holds. What about mita mita? Also like kasha. Had medalia, had mitasoi. It all depends on how much room you have for storage under the bed. The first Bryce is talking about that there was a huge space between the bottom of the bed and the floor. 5 inches, 10 inches, a foot, 2 feet, whatever. So there's so much room, it's very likely that throughout the year he used it for storage. So therefore, food could have been stored there, or either on purpose or by accident. I say by accident because it says what really shouldn't put food underneath the bed where you're sleeping, but maybe this person didn't hold of that, or he didn't know about it, or whatever it was. But the point is, since there's so much space, easily chametz can fall there, can be stored there, and therefore the first braisa says, you gotta be bodek. The second braisa is talking about the metasoi, that there wasn't that much room from the bottom of the bed to the floor. And whatever room there was, it was full of already eitz and vavanim. So there was no more room to go and find chametz, to store chametz. You don't have to worry. Ein tzricha bedik. One of the things we said was the sellers of wine, in other words, wine sellers. You don't have to be boidik, Votanya. We learned in another brice. You do have to be boidik, the oitzis yain. Oitzis shemen ain't tzorech medika. That's already consistent. The first brice said both oitzis yain and oitzis shemen ain't tzorech medika. The second brice said no. Oitzis yain do need medika. It's just the shemen that doesn't need medika. It's a shver. Oh, it depends. If you're talking about long-term storage of wine, where people typically only go in once every 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, or could also be commercial wine cellar. Okay, so then you don't have to worry about chametz. However, mistapik means it's a wine cellar which is directly underneath your dining room, and you have a butler or waiter, and that butler or waiter knows that when there's no more drinks on the table, he has to go and bring in more drinks. Now, the waiter or the butler, he's eating on the job, so he's munching now a roll at the same time that he has to go and bring up the wine. So he says, yeah, I'm going to bring up. And he quickly goes down the steps, he puts down his roll for a moment, finds a good barrel of wine, and brings up that barrel, and guess what? He forgets his roll down below. And when he remembers it 3 days later, it's probably stale already, forget about it. But guess what? If you find it now, Pesach time, so those types of wine cellars you have to go and check, because the waiter by accident might have left a roll there. But the other oitzis yain are talking about that they were not mistopic. You never use them during the meal because they were far away in a shed somewhere or a commercial, whatever. The point is that if you don't use it at the time of meals, then you don't have to worry about chametz. But if you do use it at the time of meals, then you do have to worry. Why did the first braisa say oitzis yain ve'oitzis shemen ein tzricha medika? Obviously, because you don't frequent those wine cellars or those oil cellars. So if that's the case, the same thing should apply to the second braisa. Why do we say oitzis yain yeah and oitzis shemen nish? Oitzis shemen, you have the same problem. You have shemen on the table. All the shemen is used up. The meltzar, the waiter, the butler is going to go down. He's going to leave his roll there. He's going to bring up the same shalom. So dimona shemen yesh keva la'achila, yain en keva l'shtia. What does that mean? Rashi says that the average waiter or butler, he sees the number of guests that are invited or going to come. He knows how much shemen we're going to need. And he has a pretty good idea. He has a lot of experience. But by yayin, in keva l'shtia, because after all, if this becomes an extended meal, people will want to drink more. It's just like most of us are not major, I speak for myself, but I think in America not many people are such wine connoisseurs, but lots of people like to drink Coca-Cola or other types of soft drinks. So you bring out at the beginning of the meal 3, 4, 5 bottles, and if the meal gets extended, guess what? All those bottles are used up. Do you have any more soda? Can you bring in more from the refrigerator or from your pantry or wherever you keep the bottles? See, here too, when it comes to shtia, when it comes to wine, the butler thought he had enough wine, but in fact, the meal got a little bit longer than he expected, or there were two additional guests that he didn't expect, and there's just not enough wine. So there you have the concern. But by oil, he knows more or less how much you need, and he typically never has a problem. Taner Pchia. Also, oitzis sheikh b'bavel, ki oitzis yayin sheb'eretz Yisrael b'mestapik. In Bavel, they didn't drink as much wine as they drank in Eretz Yisrael. Instead, their national beverage, if you will, was beer. And so therefore the same halacha would apply, that if you have such a beer cellar, where you have barrels and barrels of beer, not necessarily on the wall, but you have bottles of beer, whether it's 199, but the point is, you have a whole bunch of them, and what happens, and you need more beer at the table, so there too you have the same problem that the Shamus might leave his roll while he's bringing up some of those bottles of beer on the wall, and he brings it upstairs, etc., and he leaves the roll down.
Shamus, not Chametz, though. It's like beer from dates.
Yeah, exactly. The Sheikhar itself was not the Chametz. The problem is that he leaves his roll there, just like the Eretz Yisrael Dicker, who left it by the barrels of wine. That's correct. What happens if you have a long-term storage or cellar where you have in fish? Now, I know most of you are thinking, fish, isn't it going to go and rot and spoil? It's true, but as you may know, in the good old days before they had refrigeration, they used to go and salt the fish, and they salted it so intensely that it could, in fact, stick around for days and weeks, just like they used to do that heavy, the hard salami. They would go and they would do so much salting that you don't need a refrigeration and it would stay around for a long time. So here too, the fish would stick around a long time. So Beit Dogim ain't Tzorach B'dika. You don't have to worry that there's chametz over there. Why would there be chametz over there by the fish? Frank Dimov Batani, but there's another price. It's Tzorach B'dika. You do need by the fish place. You do need B'dika. So Tumuloy Kasha, Habravri Habizutri. So Rashi says it's the same teretz as before. If you're talking about a place where they stored the big fish items, big, large fish, oh, there you don't have to worry that you're going to find the roll of the waiter. And the reason is because the waiter knows he has 10 guests. Oh, how much fish do I need? I need one large salmon, one large white fish. I'll bring it up. That'll be enough. Worst comes to worst, somebody has a bigger appetite. I'll cut smaller slices, bigger slices. I'll work it out. It's a rare type of situation that he would have to go back to the fish department and forget there his roll. But Zutri, if you're talking about a place where he stored the herring or the sardines or something like that, okay, so he messed up. He didn't realize that Kiddush people love to eat herring, and therefore he has to go down to bring some more herring. Oh, Schnell, some more herring. The Schmaltz herring is the best type, or the other type of herring. Imagine, exactly. So he's going to leave his roll there, and it's going to be on a roll, and he's going to forget it, and therefore you have to go and check it out. Okay. Rav Huna. If you have a place where you store your melach meaning the salt, uvekiri, you store your shaiva, which means your wax, tzorach b'dika, because during the meal, you might need some more salt, or you might need some more kiri, some more shaiva. Shaiva here means the wax, which is the fuel for your lanterns or for your lights, so that the candles don't go out. So you bring in, we're not talking about on Shabbos, we're talking about throughout the year, you have anytime you have a meal, so at times, you'll need some more salt, or you'll need some more shaiva, and therefore tzorech b'dika, because, again, the waiter's going to forget his role there, and we're going to have to be biting. Amra papa, beitzivi. Beitzivi means where you leave your wood, like for burning. Ubeitamri, where you leave your tamarim, date, tzorech b'dika. Because, once again, you might need the wood during the meal. For instance, if it gets very cold, you need some more wood for the fireplace. You need more tamarim for dessert. So, tzorech b'dika. Oh, even though you have to go and check with your candle, but you don't have to put your hand into the chayrim nistakim, into the cracks and crevices, because of the sakana. What is the sakana you're talking about? Because when you put your hand in, you don't want to find the scorpion at the other end. If you're talking about this is a mokum shemachnisen by chametz, and that's why I would normally have to go and inspect and search for the chametz, that means that I use these chametz stuckim the whole year. How come I'm not scared then? But to put the chametz in, I'm not scared. To remove it, oh, there might be a scorpion. It's talking about that this originally was a normal wall with cubby holes where he put in food items, etc. And guess what happens? Unfortunately, it collapsed, and now there's a lot of rubble, and there are a lot of holes and crevices in the rubble. Stay away, because akravim, unfortunately, can get there. Meaning that when you used it, there was no danger of akravim. But now that it's a collapse, oh, now the scorpions say, that's my new residence, and he goes into those cracks and crevices, so stay away. If you're talking about that there was a mapolis, that there was a building collapse, you don't need bedika at all. But tonight we learned in the Mishnah, chametz shenofel al mapolis. What happens? You know for sure there was chametz there, but then there was a collapse. Woo! Then how do you come over? It's as if it's already eradicated and eliminated from the world, because how can you get there? It's a mapolis, so you don't have to do bedika at all. So don't tell me neasakana. It's kimavur. It depends how bad this building collapse was. Is it a place she'ena kelev yochel chapes achrav, that even the kelev cannot go and find the chometz underneath a building collapse because it's just so much collapsed material? Rashi says at least three tefachim or more. So now you say a Fido or whatever the name of your dog is, and you say, go and try to find the chometz. I don't smell anything. And it's not because of COVID. I can't smell because it's just so much building collapse. I don't smell. So then you don't have to be bayik. If it's less than three tvachim, then there's a chiyav bedika. But if you find those cracks and crevices, stay away because of the potential of scorpions. So the ma'isa come to chois from our gemara that say if it's mokim shah kelev yochel chapes achrav, or she'ena kelev yochel chapes achrav, you don't have to be bayik. Because if it's more than three tvachim, harihu kimavur. If it's less than three tvachim, it's a sakana. So what's the difference then between your three tvachim, nish three tvachim, your kelev yochel chapis, nish kelev yochel chapis? That's the last Toisus talks about it. And Toisus says the nafkimina will be if I know for sure that there's chametz. If I know for sure that there's chametz and it's less than three tvachim covered by the mapolas, if it's a place that hakelev yochel chapis achrav, then I also have to be mechapis achrav because I know for sure that there's chametz there. However, if it's a suffix, I don't know. I'm one of these very diligent chometz searchers, and I want to find if there's chometz under the mapolas. 50-50, maybe there is, maybe there isn't. Oh, you don't have to be boy because of the sakana, because there might be an akrav lurking in one of those cracks and crevices. Frank Timur, what do I have to worry about sakana? Vomer blazer, shluchim mitzvah v'zoikin. If I'm a shliach mitzvah, then no hezek wolf. That's the reason why people go and give money for people who are traveling to Eretz Yisrael or traveling on a plane. I'm giving you shliach mitzvah money because now I give you the money for purposes of dispersing for tzedakah. Shluchim mitzvah v'zoikin. So what's the problem? What do you have to worry about? Amr v'ashi shem etoyved loy. Machat vasliyune basra. Maybe at the same time that he's looking for his chametz, he's also looking for a needle in the haystack or a lavdafka needle. Maybe he's been looking for his gold watch the whole year, and he figures, you know, the best time when I really do a good job in searching, that's when I do bedikas chametz. So hopefully I'll find my gold watch. And therefore, says Rashi, he's not going to focus his attention so much on the chametz. He's going to be focus his attention on the gold watch. Not that he's going to ignore the chametz, but it's going to be a mixed mind over matter. His kavan is going to be for both of them. And since he's mechavan also for the watch or for the needle, maybe he's not a full-fledged shliach mitzvah, and that's why he's getting the hezek, potentially. Just because a person has other ulterior motives, does that undermine the mitzvah? Tanya, a person never has a sick son, and he says, I give $1,000,000, and Kodesh Baruch, and that's chus, my son should have a refu shleim. Oy, I'm giving money, sheyeh ben alabah, rabbeinu shleilam, my ticket to olam haba, I'm paying right now, I'm giving $1,000,000 to this yeshiva, please, I want you to go and give me my ticket to olam haba. Harry said, tzadikam, but there's nothing wrong with that, even though he has ulterior motives, but nevertheless, the mitzvah was lishma, and besides that, there's maskavin also to side benefits. So, same thing over here. He wants to go and get the chametz, but at the same time, if I can find the needle, if I can find my watch, that would be great. Okay, so what's the problem? So, vayti is a shliach mitzvah. It should be einun nizakin. What I'm concerned is, he's going to do his bedikas chametz. He looks in one of the cracks and crevices. He finds the chametz, and he says, I see this other stuff over there. I'm going to come back for that later on. After the whole bedikas chametz is over, and he already made his kol chamir v'chamir, and he put the 10 pieces away in a nice bag somewhere, and everything is fine, and then he goes back to the crack and crevice, and guess what? He's looking for the machat, or for the gold watch, and now the scorpion is going to bite him. Now there's no longer shliach mitzvah, because he already performed the mitzvah. That's the sakana. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Omar, Mishum Sakonis Hanochrim, I'm worried about the Goyishan neighbor, Uflemoihi, and this is a rare Tana by the name of Flemoi, the Sani Melinda, the Brisa Chorsha Ben Yehudi Le'armoi. What happens if there happens to be a wall, and there's a cubby hole, a crack in the wall between a Jewish neighbor and a non-Jewish neighbor? Just like we had in the Amud Aleph, stick your hand in as far as you can. If you find chametz, take it in. Whatever else is but. Flamei Omar kol atzmai eina boidik. Don't even think about being boidik. Mnei sakana. What's the sakana? My sakana. Inei me sakana is kshofim. Then what does kshofim mean over here? So Rashi says that I'm concerned that the goy is going to see a yid looking through that hole in the wall, holding a candle, and he's saying, boy, this looks very spooky. At night, the Jew is holding such a Hanukkah candle. He tells me it's Passover, but he's holding a Hanukkah candle, and he's looking through the wall to the other side. Oh, maybe he wants to do some sorcery. Therefore, witchcraft. The Goy is going to be afraid that this Jew is now performing witchcraft, and therefore he might go bang bang, or he might call the police, or whatever. So that's the sakana that we're concerned about. So said, how did he use the cubbyhole throughout the year? Why did he worry about the witchcraft? Obviously, there's no such concern. So why is there concern not to be potek? When he used the cubbyhole, he used it during the day, when it was broad light. And if the goy saw that the Jew was putting something in or taking something out, he didn't think there was witchcraft because, you know, it was all plain daylight. And he saw, he put in a knife, he put in it, put in some money, he took something out, put something in. And now it's at night, Ushrago, and he's holding on to a candle, looking inside, and now he starts thinking, hey, what's going on over here? This looks very, very fishy. People going with lights at night, and the crevices. So therefore, Chas V'Shalom, it can come l'day sakana, because the goy will suspect the Jew of witchcraft. Fake him on the same catch as well. Amr Blazer, Shluch Mitzvah Nizoykin. You don't have to worry about Shliach Mitzvah getting a hezek. After the Morah, the Shliach Hezek is shiny. That's only under normal circumstances. But where there is a frequency of hezek, that hezek happens often under those circumstances, then you got to be worried. What is this all about? This is talking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu decided that this is the end of the reign of Saul, of Shaul HaMelech, and instead I want David HaMelech to take over. So he commanded Shmuel HaNavi. Which one is this? Is Shmuel Aleph or Shmuel Beis? Maybe it's the same one. Anyway, so he asked Shmuel, please go out, take some anointing oil, find David HaMelech, anoint him, he's going to be the new king. So Shmuel said, how can I go? Shaul is going to hear. Varagoni, he's going to say, I'm a moited b'malchus. I'm rebelling against the king. And he's going to cast a Shaul and kill me. You have a valid concern. Take with you a calf. Bring it for a carbon. Invite over some of your friends for karm shlomim, such as Yishai. And when Yishai is there, you'll say, Yishai, I heard you have a son, Dovidl. Bring him here, and I'm going to go and anoint him, etc. Anyway, the point is that Kodesh Baruch Hu validated that there is a concern of a possible hezek. He's a shliach mitzvah. Kodesh Baruch Hu sent him to anoint David HaMelech. It's a simen that heicha the shliach hezek shiny, where there's a likelihood or a possibility of hezek, you gotta be careful. They asked Rav the following shayla: Hani b'nei bei Rav, the talmidim in the yeshiva, the dairi bebaga, their lodgings, their dormitory, so to speak, was in the valley, while the yeshiva was in a different place. Is it acceptable for the talmidim to leave early in the morning, like 4 o'clock in the morning when it's still dark, to come to the yeshiva? And is it acceptable for them to leave late at night, to 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, when it's really dark, to go back to their lodgings? Amlu, so Rav said, Nesu, for them to come to the yeshiva in the morning, alive al tzavari. That I take responsibility for. No problem. They can leave 4 o'clock in the morning. It's pitch dark. No problem. They can come. Nezlamai, what about returning late at night? Omlu Sarav Salidana. That already, I don't know the answer. Itma Omre Blazer, Shlucha Mitzvah in Nizoykin Leba Lichasa Leba Chazirasin. Reblazer now expanded on what he said before. You don't have to worry neither when you go nor when you come back. And therefore, you don't have to worry if you're going to the yeshiva, going back from the yeshiva. It'll be fine. Of course, except where Heicha de Motzi Shchiach Hazeka, like we said before. If you know that in that route that they travel, there are frequently gangsters or mobsters or terrorists or whatever, that's a different story. Chas V'Shalom. But if a normal situation, you don't have to worry. Kiman Ki Aitana, we have a similar limud. Tesani, it says in the Brayis, Isa ben Yehuda, Oimer, Klapisha Umra, Toira, V'liach Moed Ish Es Arzecha. This is talking about when a person wants to be Ole L'Regel. As we know, there's a mitzvah Li L'Regel 3 times a year. Now, when he's going up L'Regel, he's going to be a week away, for at least a week or two or three, and he's afraid that during that period of time, Chas V'Shalom, somebody might take over his property. Says the Pasuk, a person will not have the desire to take over your property. And the Pasuk continues on, Here's a pasuk over here. And I have it here, number two. In your Gemara, you may have it in Aleph Beis Gimel. But anyway, it says, you don't have to worry that a person is going to have that desire to take away your property. Moreover, you can have your oxen or your cows go and be roya. Roya means that they are grazing. Afar means like in the marshes. You don't have to worry about that, since you're not around to go and protect, that the wild animals are going to rip these porois apart. You don't have to worry. If you have a tarnegoilis, a hen, that is pecking away in the garbage dump, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about the weasel going and attacking the tarnegoilis. Now, where do we see this in the possible? From the extra word S. It's the second choice over here. Since it says S artzcha, S is a toful artzcha. Not only don't you have to worry that somebody's going to try to be a try to take over your land, but they won't even don't even worry about your animals. Everything will be fine. So it's very typical and frequent for animals to be attacked by wild animals, or for the hen to be attacked by the weasel. But because Baruch gives you avtocha, if you're shliach mitzvah, you're going oil regal, you don't have to worry. But that normally people don't attack people in regular civilized societies. Then certainly you don't have to worry about when you're going to go up to the base of Migdish, any type of a shliach mitzvah. I only know that when you are traveling to Eretz Yisrael for oil regal. How do I know that I don't have to worry about when I'm returning? See, I have an extra word, loyalecha. Could have said valachta. You'll come home and you'll find the Baruch Hashem, your tent, your residence is Baruch Hashem intact. No problem. Once you tell me that the pasuk is telling you that even when you return, everything will be b'shalom, so what do I have to have the first part of the pasuk for liyachman ishes artzcha? Just tell me that shliach mitzvah, when he returns, he's not going to have any concern about hezek. So certainly when he goes to do the shliach mitzvah. So Timur Yitaka write, this first part of the pasuk is to tell you a different halacha altogether, halacha of Rabami, that she ein loy karka ein oy leregel, that the only person that has to go and be oil regal is someone that owns real estate. If you don't own real estate, you don't have to be oil regal. If you remember, that was the choices he had back on Gimel Amid Beis. One of the three reasons the choices gave that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira stayed in the Tzivim and he didn't go up to be oil regal to Eretz Yisrael because of the fact that he didn't own any karka. This is, by the way, a very hot item, and the Mefarshim talk at great length about this with his Yola Locha, Nishla Locha, where's the Makar, whether this is a proper Makar from Isha Esarzecha. Anyway, I am the Mefarshim. Omer of Oven Barav Ad, Omer of Yitzchak, Neima Ein Peter Skinoisim Yushalayim. Now we're talking about Oyler Regel, so we get off a little bit on a tangent, and we say, how come the Peiris Genoise? Peiris Genoise we have in other parts of Shas, were delicious, wonderful, beautiful Peiris that grew on the banks of the Kinneret. And the Gemara says about Rabbi Yochanan that they were so delicious, they brought 100 baskets full of 10 sa'a or 10 kavan, whatever, of fruit from Peiris Genoise, or the other way around, 10 large baskets that had 100 sa'a or kavan of the fruit, and Rabbi Yochanan would be able to eat all of them and say that I'm still not full. That's how easy they digested, and they were good for the system, and good and nourishing. I got some myself. The Peiris Genoise were really stupendous. So how come you couldn't get Peiris Genoise Yerushalayim? Why'd you have to go to the Kinneret? So that people shouldn't have mixed kavonis. When they're going oil regel, they shouldn't go and say, you know, I'm going oil regel. Nah, I'm a mela, base of Migdish. It's a nice thing. Yeah, no question. Being united with thousands of people, hundreds of thousands, millions of yidin would bring kavonis. Yeah, that's great. But the Peiris Genoise said, oh, that's really special. So we don't want people to have that kavan. Nimtzis aliyah shalei lishma, ki yoitz by simile. Omer of the story of Yanim Neima in Chami Tveri Bishalayim. The Chami Tveri, what do you think the Chami Tveri were? They were in Tveria. That's how they got the name Chami Tveria. So the question is, why didn't they have Chami Tveria in Yerushalayim? Okay, they would change the name, I guess, to Chami Yerushalayim. So how come you didn't have those mineral hot baths in Yerushalayim like you have in Tveria? Oh, the person might have in the back of his mind, bring the kabonis, but those hot baths, oh, that's what I always looked forward to the whole year. Okay, we go back to the Mishnah. Mishnah says that mokim she'ein machnisim bechametz ein tzarich bedika. Ubameh omru beishuris b'martif. What about the halach of the two rows in the martif? Martif meaning the cellar, the basement. So the question is, why over there do you have a bedika requirement? Until that point, it didn't say anything about martif. The Gemara says, "Bameh omru beishuris b'martif." Who's talking about Martif until now? Says Imahochi Kamar. You have to add a couple of words to the Mishnah. Kol Mokim Shemachlisu Bei Chometz Ein Tzorach Bedika. If Chometz doesn't come in, you don't have to be Oidik. Voitzes Yain Voitzes Shemen Nami Ein Tzorach Bedika. Normally, your wine cellars and your oil cellars, you don't have to be Oidik. Normally, you don't have any Chometz there. But Me'er Omru Shtei Shuris Martif. I this Machloket B'Sham B'Sil that you have to be Oidik. You know what? Mokim Shemachlisu Bei Chometz a Mistapik. It's talking about a wine cellar that you do use on an ongoing basis. That any time there are more guests or more wine being consumed than was first assumed, so then the shamus has to go down, he's going to put down his roll, and oy vavoy, that's the din of the shtei shuris b'martif, where you mistapik, where you use that wine cellar on an ongoing basis to replenish the wine at the table. Now what's the loch about that martif? Now we have. Let's look at the lashon of the Mishnah because that'll be key to understanding. It says, "Beishami oimim beishurois al pnei kol hamartef." Two rows on the entire front of the martef. It's a beis omer aleph, the very, very beginning. Go to page one, all the way to the beginning, all the way to the beginning.
Page 2.
But this page two is page one. See
the first.
Ah, exactly. One, another couple of pages. That's 50 pages, the introduction, yeah. So you see on the 5th, 6th line of the Mishnah, it says, Beishami oimrim beis shuritz al pnei kol amartev, pnei kol amartev. Beisil says, no, shtei shuritz hachitzoyne shehenu el yadis. And now we're going to have machlokes. What did Beishamai mean, and what did Beishil mean? What did Beishamai mean, beis shuritz al pnei kol amartev? Zok the Gemara. Rav Yehuda, shtei shuris she'omru min ha'oretz ve'ad shmei koira. Whoever has an art scroll, you don't need to explain a word, because the art scroll has beautiful, beautiful pictures of Rav Yehuda's halacha and Rav Yochanan's pshat. But it's not that hard to... Oh, you have the beautiful diagram. Oh, thank you very much. You're showing it. Ed is showing off his Gemara to everyone. It looks beautiful.
Look, thank you for
Chesem
embarrassing me to the whole world.
To the contrary, I'm telling the whole world that you have such beautiful diagrams, such beautiful pictures. Okay, so now, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Shtei shuris she'omru min ha'oretz ad shmei koira." Let's assume the person has stacked 10 stacks of wine, one in back of the other, in back of the other. In other words, as soon as you come down to the wine cellar, you face in the front your first stack. The stack could have, let's say, 5 barrels, one on top of the other, and then you continue on the next stack behind it, again 5, one on top of the other, and then the next one, 5, one on top of the other, and so on and so forth. You have 10 stacks like that, and says Rabbi Yehuda, "Shtei she'omru min ha'oretz v'ad shmei koira." You look at the first stack from the floor until the ceiling, those 5, and then continue back of that, the next stack of 5, one on top of the other, those two shuris you have to be concerned about. And presumably the answer is, or the reason why, is because the shamus, when he's going to replenish the wine at the table on top, he's not going to go deep into the recesses of that wine cellar to get the back barrels. He's going to use the front barrels because that's much more accessible. And because the people upstairs are saying, "We want wine." They're whining that they have no more wine. So therefore he wants to bring it up as quickly as possible. So the shtei shuris means in front of you that first stack and the one right in back of it. Rabbi Yochanan said, no. Shur achas kimin gam. In fact, look upon as one stack, but in the form of the third letter of the Greek alphabet, the letter gamma, which is very similar to our letter L. And therefore, think of it as the one shura is right in front of me, my first stack, and then the second stack is the one that sees the ceiling. In other words, I continue on from the highest. Again, in my example, you have 5 stacked one on top of the other. The top one then go all the way in till the back of the cellar, which, for instance, if there are 10 stacks, then you'd have 10 barrels all the way to the back of the cellar. And that's what he means, the shtei shurais. The shtei shurais is one, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's the one all the way in front, and it's all the way the one on the top, that touches the ceiling or sees the ceiling. And in fact, Gemara explains this, brings two brises, Tanya Kivasa Rav Yehuda, Tanya Kivasa Rav Yochanan, Tanya Kivasa Rav Yehuda. Remember, what did Rav Yehuda say? It's two stacks in front of you, Shtei Shurais from the floor to the ceiling. Beishami Omim Shtei Shurais, Al Pnei Kol HaMartiv, Ushtei Shur Sha'omu. What does it mean? Min Ha'oretz Va'ad Shemei Kari. That's the first two stacks, the first of five, and the next one of five. Those will go from the ground till the Shemei Kari to the ceiling. Those are the two stacks we're talking about. What does that mean? Yeah, I agree. The first stack when you come in, that is no machlokes about that. But the elyon royes akoira, what I'm talking about, the second one where the Shammai said that it has to be al pnei kol amartiv. Pnei means when you come in, and also if you look from above, if you're looking from the ceiling, you're looking down. That pnei kol amartiv, that ceiling group of barrels on top. Anything which is beyond the front stack, that first stack, or anything below that ceiling stack, you don't have to be bright. So we see a clear-cut machloikis, and again the art scroll has a very nice picture showing the front according to Rabbi Yehuda and the top according to Rabbi Yehuda. What does that mean? Again, a machloikis, Rav and Shmuel. Omer Rav, Elyoina b'shelamate mena. Rav says, Rav is similar, if you will, to Rav Yehuda, and he says, look at that first stack when you come in. And when I say Shtei Shuris Achitzoin Sheinu Alyoinis, means, again, in my example that you have five barrels stacked one on top of the other, it means the top two. Number one at the top, the one that sees the ceiling, and the one immediately beneath that, those are the two. Those are the only two barrels that I'm concerned about. Those are the Chitzoinois. I see them as soon as I walk in. They're the external ones, meaning I see them. And they are Elyonis, they're the top two, one and two. Ushmul Amar, no. Elyon Virshlimay Mena. So Shmuel is similar to Rabbi Yochanan. And he says it means the highest one of the first stack, which would be number one of the five. That's the top one. And the one immediately beyond it, or behind it, I should say, in the second stack, also the top one, so those two are the ones that see the koira, like the Gemara said before, they see the ceiling. So it's the first one I see, and it's the one immediately in back of it, the two highest ones in these two stacks. My time to Rab, Daik Chitzoinois. He's been Daik the word Chitzoinois, which means that they are external. So that means I see them, they're the Chitzoin. As soon as I walk in, I see them. I don't see the one in back, because that's already internal. But doesn't say Elyoinois, which sounds like Shmuel, that's got to be the upper ones. It's not the upper ones. It comes to exclude number 3, 4, and 5. The top two, those that are the Elyoinus, and 3, 4, and 5, no. It's the top one and the one directly behind it. My time, because he's Daik Elyoinus. Those are the highest ones. Which means the external in the front. That comes to exclude the stacks 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's only the first two. The Chitzoin is the first one and the second one, but the Elyon is the two top ones. Rav Chiya Toni Kabasi de Rav. Rav Chiya was on Rav's side. Remember, Rav Chiya was a double uncle of Rav. I'm not saying that there's nepotism, but nevertheless, Rav Chiya was the uncle of Rav and he passed like Rav. The Kul Tanoim, but all the other Tanoim, in other words, all the other, not really Tanoim, but all the other Talmidim and then Talmidicham, Toni Kabasi de Shmuel, they learn like Shmuel. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai Mechim. We're going to continue tomorrow morning at 7:45 to get to Shul. Zag Yibench. Have a wonderful day.